Hello, hello. We'll do the usual bits and pieces, get our speakers up here. So bear with a few minutes and obviously let everyone roll in. So Peter, I can see you're here. If you can request, I see the request. You have been approved. Welcome. Others from the team as well. So we're expecting Matthias and Mark. So if you can request when ready, to be a speaker, that'd be great.
I guess you should be able to hear me now, right?
I can indeed. I can indeed. Thanks, Peter. Matthias, I can't see you again. I think we had this problem last time. I don't know what you did to resolve that, but if you can do it again, if you remember, that'd be great. Yeah, if you can join from another account, that'd be perfect too. It again, if you remember, that'd be great. Yeah, if you can join from another account, that'd be perfect too. Testing.
Can you guys hear me?
Let's not answer him because it's much more fun to hear him going yada, yada, yada.
Basically, yeah. Crypto Factor, good to see you as well. Silence is painful for me, that anyone that has spoken to me or knows me well. So I'm just going to hop into Yakubu. Great to see you too. Yakubu is someone I've worked with for years. Yeah, silence is painful, so I'll start. Peter laughs because he feels the pain on the other side of me speaking. So welcome everyone. Thanks so much for joining today's community AMA. Some of you may know, some of you may not. I'm Youssef Fanous, Chief Commercial Officer here at Patizia Blockchain, and I'll be hosting and guiding us through this conversation today. Joining me on the call, we've got Peter Franson, co-CEO of both Patizia Blockchain and Patizia, what we refer to as Patizia Infrastructure, but Patizia. Mark Bungard, Chief Product Officer at Patizia Infrastructure. And last but not least, Matthias Glimborg, Head of Product at Patizia Blockchain, and also spends some time on God's Network. So he's joined actually from the God's Network account today. We'll keep it simple. You all as a community have been asking for, well, thoughtful, fair questions. Well, for the most part, at least. And you wanted a proper space to engage openly. So that's what this is. I know previous AMAs haven't always lived up to the mark. I've seen your feedback, raised it internally, and this conversation is hopefully the result of that. So a few ground rules. Most of this, frankly, should go without saying, but history on other calls has made it necessary. So I just wanted to be upfront so we're all aligned. Let's keep things respectful and mature. We're all here for a shared goal, which is hopefully progress of PBC. Like any business, there are things we can't speak on fully. So confidential discussions and early stage plans are examples of some of those reasons, but we'll try to be as open as possible. Let's avoid too much repetition. You may not love the answer. You may love it. But once something's answered, we'll just keep it moving. Above all, let's enjoy this. Ask the questions you care about. We're here to answer. Just to set expectations, I'll be rotating between pre-submitted questions and live ones to keep things fair. balanced and inclusive for all. Before I jump into that, just a few highlights and updates for new listeners or for those who may have missed them. So let's start with IDOS. An identity layer project in Web3 is using Patizia's key management solution, which demonstrates the strength of our tech, our ability to find product market fit with a real use case that IDOS couldn't find elsewhere in the market. They've also got some incredible traction that we're a part of with a seat at the table for their IDOS consortium alongside the likes of Near, Ripple, Circle, and a few others, which is a big step for us in our digital identity or DID ambitions. Topan, I always pronounce it different ways, is a major Japanese player in the printing and identity space with over 100 years of history, valued in the trillions of Japanese yen in market cap, and another big win really for our DID ambitions. We'll be rolling out pilots in Japanese universities for student credentials, accesses, and potentially some financial use cases as well. Maybe a chance to give an exclusive but a long-awaited one. Weekly and automated reward distribution is now live on mainnet, so we'll be sharing more comms on this. And we were recently recognized in a Messari report alongside other data privacy first projects. The importance of confidential compute is growing, and Messari is obviously a beacon here for pushing forward new and interesting narratives. As we all know, data is the lifeblood of the modern world, and using MPC and these other types of privacy enhancing tech to be able to store and collaborate on this data securely and compliantly not only breaks down borders and allows for innovation, but most importantly allows users and businesses to have more ownership over their data. And it won't be the last time I mention this, but drum roll for the last one, which is Luigi is gone. Many forms, many aliases, many endless loops over many years. And I'll be fair, some important questions were asked, but the approach can only really be explained using your own eyes to see it. It's been refreshing to see the shift in tone across the community with real dialogue happening again. And I just want to share that here because, jokes aside, it is a really important environment to build. And it's actually how we get the most fruitful, productive conversations going amongst all stakeholders. So updates are pinned in the TG community with some added bonuses of Luigi being cemented in history as a meme. That is the housekeeping done. Before I carry on, is there anything anyone else from the team wants to add to some of those updates before we jump straight into questions? I hope the rest of the AMA has more dialogue. Peter, please.
Who's there?
That was an interesting update. I'll just get straight into it then. No strict format here. I'll keep it flowing. A mix of live and pre-submitted questions. And really the goal is to hit a broad mix of topics so we can keep it interesting and inclusive. Given that you guys have spent the time to be here, I'll start with live questions. So if someone does have something to ask, please raise your hand and we'll get you up as a speaker. We have a request. That was just Peter requesting to be back. I think he's experiencing some issues on the spaces. I'll give it. We have Manny. Hey, Manny. Welcome. Good to see you again. How are you doing?
I'd rather listen to the AMA and the team first before I ask my question. So you all let people up after you've done all that and answered all the questions.
I'll mix it between the two just to keep it interesting.
That's fine. I'll come back on later then. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Sure. Thanks, Manny. Anyone else? If not, I'll hop into a few pre-submitted questions. If you have submitted a question, it's just to hear from you direct too. So I believe Crypto Factor, you may have submitted a few. CrowdSnap, Sahasi at CrowdSnap, Cryptid, you definitely have a few questions, so feel free to step up. If not, I'll just hop straight into some of the submissions. Shy audience today. Okay. I'll just hop in, no particular order. I'm just seeing what's straight in front of me. So this was actually from Hassi. PBC is chasing commercial partnerships, which is good, but most of those big companies are too process oriented and deliveries are slow. Why not invest in the ecosystem builders with fair grants like stablecoins to encourage development? I'm going to read into some of the intention behind these questions as well. So maybe Mark on some of the commercial partnerships that I know you've been working on, and then we can hop into the grants and more Web3 native adoption as well. Maybe going on to Matthias after that, because I know you've been working with a bunch of projects on bringing them to delivery. So Mark, please go ahead.
Yeah, cool. And can you hear me? It works.
It works. It does.
IT is hard, even though you potentially is educated in it. All right. Right. Well, I think there's, you kind of, first of all, saw some of the strategic partnership on Toppen, right? And other things that is coming in the mix. And I think the reason why it also gives importance, and I think it is important, even though it takes time, and I fully understand that it's Toppen has also been a year in the making for getting there. It's also about having something that stays in a sense. So value given approach to creating projects that actually sets a solution in the market that gives value. So for someone like Toppen, a lot of this is around identity first, as you said at the beginning. And this is a core product for them. This is a core market for Toppen. They're doing not just 33% of the core market in Japan, but providing identity solutions in Singapore, Taiwan, Indonesia, South America, Africa. And what we are really trying to provide here is a standardized solution for this. I'll quote it a bit if I could, but interoperability of identities, where they would be not just dependent on PBC and the technology around it, but also really utilizing it for having a solution that could scale, and especially into some of the European discussions also. And I think of focus on enterprises is not the only focus there should be, and Matthias will pick it up right after here, but the focus with enterprises is also for having stable solution that keeps existing in the market and provide solutions that you are able to scale upon. And I think it's insanely important and also an insane commitment to get from large enterprises that here we are able to build something that actually provides some guarantees for a common solution that is unique. And that's also why we need to keep those discussions going and create more value. And I don't mean it in any negative way, but more value than necessarily just a swapping an NFT always, right? We would like to have real value behind it. And that's what we see in the discussions we're doing on the enterprise side also.
I'll add something there, which is enterprise solutions mean a less rocky and volatile environment.
Absolutely.
That just meet the Web3 cycles. And as the space in the industry is maturing a lot more and bringing in, let's call Web2 or non-Web3 natives, it's an important component to focus on, but rightly so, not the only component. I'll go over, actually, before I segue in, there's also overlap and alignment, right? Like I've mentioned Toppen and IDOS at the beginning of the AMA, and they both focus on a DID solution. So they aren't mutually exclusive, and there's benefit to be had and compounding benefit to be had in doing both. I'll leave that as a segue into moving to Matthias, more focused on the PBC ecosystem builders. or yeah, Web3 names?
Thanks for the question. It's a good one. And I think it's a very good point that enterprise is moving rather slow in comparison to what we call Web3 native, broadly speaking. We already invested in, now you mentioned stablecoin, right? So within the DeFi ecosystem, we already not invested, but we provided grant as support to some of the fundamental categories within DeFi. So namely a DEX, which is already live now, lending protocol and liquid staking. And the liquid staking is also a project where we see a lot of traction that they're coming fast now. Hopefully we can share some good progress around that soon. And we've been speaking to a lot of DeFi builders because they're very interested in our privacy technology. So you can't build these, for example, order books style DEXs, which preserve the privacy of the order books that can be used for certain type of markets like private auctions. Specifically, again, for stablecoin, we already have the bridge to various blockchains where you can bridge over the stablecoin. We spoke to some of the major stablecoin providers before, so think Circle, Tether, and so on. The thing about bringing these type of projects on board is that they will mint something natively on Partizia, and it's a rather big engagement that makes more sense when DeFi is actually flying, in my opinion. So DeFi is coming. We have these three core categories within DeFi, and we're actively speaking with other DeFi protocols who want to build these order book style DEXs. They want to build full reserve minted assets, so think stablecoin there again, and also CDPs. I think that was pretty much it.
Yeah, so I guess to summarize that, both enterprise and what we're calling Web3 native, for want of a better term here, are important, and there is traction and focus on both. I don't want to overlook part of the question, though, to skirt it, but why does PBC not invest in ecosystem builders through grants? I'll add a bit of context, and I don't know who I hand it over to next, but someone can just step up. Grants are interesting, right? Because there's a trend in the industry, which goes for pretty much everything, but as well as with grants, where people just grant farm and hunt for grants to get a bit of cash, but aren't really aligned necessarily with the project or the protocol. And we want to make sure that we're looking at particular metrics or focus areas when we're doing this. So what does it align with the strategy? Does it have some MPC use case? Does it drive transactions on chain? Is it a core part of our infra strategy? Can we expect some kind of users as part of this? And it's about selecting the right projects that add value to the whole ecosystem. As you know, Hasi, we offer grants, and we already have a grant program in place. So they're just a bit of added color, I guess, on some of the context. I don't know if anyone else wants to add to that in terms of grant.
Let me just add on a bit. So yeah, we had a grant program before, and we supported some projects which are building and they're coming out, for example, the DeFi projects. I think one of the interesting thing we've seen in cases like IDOS is that they're actually coming to us because they couldn't find this type of technology elsewhere in the market. And they were excited that we as a team support them with development and help them build up the case and technology. And that's kind of the approach now. We still have the grant, but we are talking to some larger DeFi players now who also tells us that grant is probably not the right approach for them. They see a business here and they like the tech, the privacy tech, and then they rather come in and let us help them build up the tech, and they want to go out to, for example, fundraise based on this.
Perfect. I think we've given a lot of context there. I just want to make sure we get around to a few other questions. I'll try and segue them in where they make sense to each other as much as possible. So I guess building on that, a question from Funny Money, Naeem. how will PBC ensure it becomes a destination for builders, value, and users, not just another overlooked ghost blockchain network, particularly as capital rotates through the ecosystem? I guess a couple of routes to potentially go through there, and kind of builds on what we said around how we're building out the ecosystem. Who wants to take that first? Maybe Matthias, building on what you've said. So how are we ensuring that PBC is the destination for builders?
Yeah, I think that's a very broad question. A lot of strategy into that, but let me try to take the product perspective there. So one of the things that we focus a lot on from the product side is to deliver products that runs in mainnet production, which is superior on a lot of the privacy, but also decentralization, performance, and scalability. So that then when we get them out to the market along with marketing and BD, we see teams like IDAS coming and saying, hey, we tried a bunch of things. We couldn't find what we need. You guys, it looks like you have the solution. And then we turn that into an engagement. So I think that's the approach. And one of the exciting things that we are coming out with now is a product called Execution Engine, where we've seen a lot of interest. We believe that will drive a lot of leads and adoption that will convert into on-chain activity.
Actually, I'll take this from a marketing perspective as well. I mean, the values also, project builders come to us because they're building a business, right? Let's massively simplify this. There are many components that build into the success of that. Matthias has touched on product. From a marketing perspective, it's, is there a community? Are there users that are willing to contribute? What does this mean to elevate my business effectively? So I have been working on some initiatives that probably aren't right to speak about here, but are nearing an end, where we've been working with some builders to build out more use cases, play around with our tooling, get familiar with the dev docs and the ecosystem, and start to produce some POCs. This allows them to better understand the ecosystem. It allows them to also be, let's call it the 12th man for anyone that watches football, where they could be external counsel, they can support with workshops, they can give feedback to our developer and the products that we're building, and then start to build some use cases against our strategy. And really, for me, another focus going forward would be to build more consumer-facing dApps or use cases so the community have more to get involved with. I know we've touched on enterprise at the moment, but that's not, although great and proves our tech at the highest level, it doesn't give much for our community to test, play around with, get educated on. So I just wanted to build out a bit more because it is a very broad question. Mark, Peter, I don't know if you want to add anything to that.
Well, there's a reading of the question saying that how do you ensure that you're going to be a success? Because effectively, the success of this blockchain is correlated one-to-one with the amount of people actually building on it. So that's the broadest version of this question, which is actually... I don't know if you want to add to that, Mark.
I think I lost the last sentence. Could you repeat that one?
Yeah, so.
Maybe he
we
lost him. We lost the guy again.
Yeah.
In a cave somewhere. You never know. No, I think.
Go on, please, Mark.
Yeah, but kind of what I'm putting is maybe taking your words out. So agreed. I think the success of this is getting people building, and let's be up front here. There's definitely been mistakes on the road to figuring out doing this correctly and learning experience from this. But from the perspective of one thing is enterprises, that's brilliant. But another thing is, I think we're, as Matthias also said, getting very much closer on getting a better understanding a better tool set, a better environment for actually hopefully being there where you could sit down and say, I'm just going to build something and I want to be able to build something. It's not there yet, absolutely. And we are also working and trying to listen all we can on the community side of things. But I think there's a lot of nuances that we are able to do now and a lot of good challenges out in the market also that can be solved uniquely from the position we're at, right? And this is really, really the work we look into right now, making sure that that becomes more, let's call it more seamless, easier to do and navigate.
And actually, I want to build on another point that markets and regulations typically, I mean, regulation in particular, dictates what a business needs. Sometimes it's actually not driven by the business itself.
No.
And when we look at data, I mean, big data has been the conversation for the last decade or so at least. And it's the lifeblood, like I said, of many businesses. And MPC provides many use cases and solutions to allow businesses and Web3 native projects and folk to own their data in different ways, be more innovative, collaborate in different ways, ensure they're compliant across borders. I mean, the solution is also a necessary one, which is driven by external forces too. I don't know if anyone wants to build on anything there. I've seen Cryptid has requested to come up, so I think let's hop over to him after this. But is there anything else on the question we were just discussing?
No, let's get Cryptid up. I think that'd be nice.
Cool. That would bear with. Cryptid, nice to see you. Fire away.
If you're up. Can you try again if it has? Oh no, you're here. You're a speaker. Please go ahead. Hey, Cryptid.
Hey, Yusuf. Thank you for inviting me up. I had a very general, basic question because it was. I guess positive to hear that we've got weekly staking rewards. My general question was, I think there's a lot of concern in the community about the amount of funds left, that there may only be 2 years of funding left. And given that we're several years now beyond token generation, beyond launch, and we still haven't got, I think even being generous, we still haven't got across many aspects a very basic level of things. So a basic ecosystem, basic marketing, basic trading volume, all these things that you would expect several years ago. And considering we've only got perhaps a couple of years of funding left, have you got any timescale when we can expect to see like a basic layer of things operating in Partizia?
I will, thanks Cryptid firstly, I think very fair question. I will pass to Peter to begin with and then I'll give my lens, I guess, from a marketing perspective after we're relevant.
I would say over everything, so basic developer relations, a basic browser that works, basic marketing, basic communications, basic trading volume. All these, it doesn't even need to be an advanced level. It just needs to be the very basic, the very sort of meat and potatoes that you need to even get started.
No, fair question. One, I would say that there's certainly development. So I want to not make this a binary or polarized view, but for sure we've not met the mark in a lot of those areas. They've definitely been talking points, I know, because I've been part of those talking points. But I'll refer to Peter to begin with, because I think there's a more important high-level strategic view. And then we can hop into some of the details. It's fairly clear.
Thank you.
Peter, please. Thanks, Cryptid.
Yeah, I'm going to hope that my connection is sufficiently stable that you can actually get what I'm saying. So I is wrong. I think the question is very fair in itself. As a trajectory for future, then I think that we...
Peter, you're breaking out again, on my end at least.
Yeah. Peter, I think the connection's challenging.
Maybe I can jump in for a second then.
Yeah, please.
Thanks for the question, right? You mentioned something very specifically, like these basic things like a browser. So over the time, we improved the browser a lot. I think it's in a... I spent like the last 8-9 years in Web3. I agree. The first version it was very different from, let's say, Etherscan or any Cosmos stuff. I think we improved it a lot. And we still have initiatives on the roadmap to improve it. And there was a very large strategy in sort of minimizing the friction for Web3 users to search the transaction, see what's coming in and out, do the delegate stake and so on. I personally think we got far. There's a banking view phase 3 coming out soon. There's additional support on the platform features. Other components like RPC, API is something we worked with. I think we got in a pretty good state there as well. We even have a smart contract IDE, the playground, where you can go in and deploy and invoke functions. What I'm saying here is that I think this feedback is valid. I think we got far, and in my opinion, we're very close to get to a pretty good level as for a Web3 platform.
I'll just build on that. I don't know if Peter's got his connection back yet, but I'll just build on that from a marketing perspective. I hear when marketing, and actually a question from you earlier in the community cryptid was exactly that. There is marketing, firstly. Community management is marketing. Content creation is marketing. Do you mean KOLs? Do you mean paid? Do you mean SEO? Do you mean co-marketing with partners? It's broad and diverse, right? And I'm happy to get into specifics probably later in the conversation, but I'll loop it back into the comment you've made around updates and upgrades. We all know, or at least the people that have been in the Patizia community for long enough know the challenges and the struggles and the difficulties of managing the community and some of the details, which I won't go into now, but we've reached a better space where actually I want to bring in more tooling and introduce more involvement from the community, whether that's just day-to-day dialogue and feedback that I pick up and I always feed back to the team, which happens currently, through to, the visit that you had to the offices in Denmark, through to workshops that we can have with different teams. I want there to be clear feedback loops as well, because if we hear your opinions and thoughts, like I said, in a mature, not just you, Cryptid, but everyone, in a mature, respectful way, we can take it on board, we can respond to it, we can either make sure that development goes ahead or give reasons for why it won't or when to expect it, right? So I guess from a marketing perspective, I want to hear your thoughts, and it's why I've kept the community open despite some of the challenges. I don't know if Peter, are you back yet? If not, I'll probably go to Mark on this as a council member. I will take that as a no. So Mark, please.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I can hear you. Thank you.
I don't know. So I'm struggling with the connection because I can't be on the better network right now. So this is the best network I should probably have. I'll try this, and then you can kick me out if it's too horrible. Can we do that?
Yep.
Yeah, we can hear you now. It sounds clear. Thank you.
Okay, good. No, but we want to do things differently, and we're also pursuing a lot of these different venues as we're doing. And just today, we had a very interesting discussion, Yusuf, Mark, and I, about some of the different ways that we can do things. So I think we're not trying to... Actually, we're trying to learn from the past, not trying to repeat it. That's actually our aim here. And you also have to, I'm hoping that you kind of want to respect that, because what we have done in the past has not worked. That's clear. And we're not arguing that. So we're definitely trying to do something different to achieve better results, because what we have had done, it has not worked sufficiently. I'm not going to regale you guys with the learnings that we have, but we're definitely also learning from the past, because the past shipment is only a trajectory that we want to avoid, not a trajectory we want to repeat.
Okay, thank you. A large part of my question was, is when can we sort of see this, all this progress coming to a point where, when people will have different interpretations about when we reach this point, but I think, when can we roughly expect to sort of finally say, right, now we've got everything in place we should have had 4 years ago, and now it's in place, now everything is working on a basic level?
I want to jump in there again. It's quite polarized and binary. There has been progress. The fact that a multi hundreds of billion dollar company has been around for 100 years wants to use our tech is massive progress. No, I don't think we should overlook that. It demonstrates the tech.
I'm not talking about progress like that. I'm talking about having all the basic things in place so that people are no longer having these conversations.
Tell me what that means. Give me one example so we can be specific. Give me one.
Okay, so a basic ecosystem with like a basic DEX that has liquidity on it. Basic communication, so that if there is an announcement, it's followed through into different mediums. It's on CoinMarketCap, it's on Reddit, it's on in different areas. Their basic trading volume. So let's say, let's look at sort of basic volume of 100K, a million.
That's three examples. Let me take two of them. So marketing, we do put announcements in TG. We pin them. They're thorough. There's a blog, which is a different medium, which everyone can link to. We share it across LinkedIn. We share it across TG. We share it across Discord. We make sure that there's active dialogue from community members, so we're hearing feedback live. We get that feedback. We give it back to teams internally. And I'll be candid here. At the moment, the team on the marketing side comprises of me and my content lead. So yes, there will be mistakes, and yes, there will be prioritization in certain areas, so we won't capture everything. But I'll be candid. There's a lot of straw man arguments here around when marketing. It's just false. I'll get onto liquidity. So liquidity, a lot of projects, as you know, wash trade, they, I'll call it, engage in the dark arts. So actually a lot of what you're seeing in the industry is fake. Mm. It's nonsense. It's regardless. It doesn't make sense. It's complete fallacy. The fact that we're doing things by the book through a Swiss regulated foundation, and we're not just wash trading or creating volumes out of thin air, should be a positive thing. You get a real status on where we're at. Yes, it needs to improve, absolutely. But liquidity and volume should really be driven by users and organic methods, not us making it up just to appease you guys. And I've been told I can't say this, but we do have the right token infrastructure in place. We do speak with market makers, some of the best in the industry. But our job is to provide a trading environment where there is liquidity that people can trade in. And yes, it's not enough in many instances. And I've been having that conversation internally. But again, a binary or off-the-cuff remark that actually has a lot of nuance. I can go into all of the details around what market making means if you need, but it's just not true that we don't have infrastructure in place.
I've not said it's not true that you don't have it in place. I said about reaching a basic level.
It is at a basic level. Okay, there's a market maker on exchanges.
Perceptions about what a basic.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'm curious level. On a serious question. How much experience have you had in Web3? How much experience have you had in marketing? How much experience? And it's not to be defensive.
Since about 2017. In community.
Professionally or personally?
Personally. I don't work in the industry. In communications, in marketing, I started out as a vice president communications. I've now been in the industry about 20 years, working in different aspects in visual media now.
Yeah, visual media. Yeah. So again, merit to what you say, but I think not the complete picture in terms of how it all works. But no, fair points though. I don't want to dismiss what you've said. We do need to improve things on the liquidity side. We do We can do much more on marketing for sure. From my perspective, I just wanted to make sure the community environment, which is bottom of funnel, is in appropriate shape. Because even if I had spent $20 million and it was the best marketing campaign in the world, and then it got driven to bottom of funnel in a community where, one, it was quite abrasive and difficult to have real conversation, and two, you've touched on it, we need more adoption. I wouldn't spend dollars until we're in a better environment to actually maximize our marketing efforts. So that's some of my opinion there, but all fair points, and we do need to do better.
Sorry, what was the
third, are you here? Yeah, we're here.
Sorry, what was the first point, Cryptid?
I'm not going to say any more points, because there's many points about basic levels.
Sure.
I mean, under any sort of measure of my measure, I wouldn't say that we've achieved that yet. Maybe my standards are higher. I don't know, but I wouldn't say But particularly, I mean,
Cryptid, I'm not. I've got
20 years in communication. Cryptid,
I'm not. I get that. I'm not going to accept your standards are higher. My standards are extremely high. And we mean, we've had dialogue one to ones, and you know what I've been doing, and so do other people that have worked with me. So I'm not, that's a cop out answer, but I do think we do agree that things need to improve. We're all aligned on that. Me, Peter, Matthias, Mark, you, others in the community. So appreciate the sentiment. Agreed. We need to improve. Please keep firing over feedback. We'll take it on board. And look, we need to do better. I'm going to go to another speaker. So Cryptid, thanks a lot for hopping in, but we do have some other requests. Thank you. Take care. Naeem, I believe you were first, and then over to Manny. Hey, how's it going? I can't hear you, Naeem, if you are speaking, so I'll go over to Manny.
Oh, I didn't know I was I've got the mic.
Can you hear me now? Yeah, I can. Go for it.
Yeah, I mean, kind of lost my train of thought in the thingy, but I mean, there's been a lot of interesting discussions up until now, and a lot of what I've wanted to hear to some extent, and the questions that I've put forth are broad on purpose to see what kind of responses come back. And for me, identification of the problem is the most critical part of identifying a solution to not repeat what we've been doing for the last 4+ years. And all I'll say is, I guess, I'm bullish that, Yusuf, you're able to identify these problems, and the things that Cryptid's mentioning is more superficial. It's not the actual fundamental at all. Like you said, like, there is no benefit in wash trading volume or satisfy those requirements of his in terms of volume being at 100,000 or 10,000, some arbitrary number. In reality, there's the core things that we talked about earlier in terms of that first question that I had, in terms of adoption, that's critical, which needs to be worked on. That's what I'll say at the moment.
Yeah, thanks, Naeem. Peter, one for you. I think the crux of that question, and correct me if I'm wrong, is you mentioned lessons learned. It'd be great to get a few specifics. I know we talk broadly sometimes, but even if it's two or three, I think that'd be a good start. Peter, please.
That puts me in a bit of a bind, to be honest. Because quite a lot of those are personal, and I really... In the place where I grew up, we have the saying that if you can't say anything nice, please shut up. So some of the lessons has also been that type of lessons. And I really don't want to dive too deep into that. That's also why we're doing, it's very easy to do things differently, because we're trying to avoid the reliance of the same thing. The question is, I think the project is at a state right now where we're thinking that we need massively to find ways of getting transactions on chain. And this is crystallizing as we speak more and more every day that this is actually the most important thing to get. So I think that's the biggest single lesson. But I honestly, I don't want to give any specific details about it, because it's not fair to the people involved.
So look, I'll push on. Go on, please. I was going to say,
I mean, for me, that's a bit of a cop out. While I really respect the character of the saying that you mentioned, I still believe you could still say we failed on adoption. We failed on bringing any tangible applications or utility to the application to the network in 4 years. Where every project I've ever experienced at this sort of caliber has launched with a basic, let's call it a starter kit. You know, the things that you mentioned earlier that's upcoming, the liquid staking protocol, which some believe may be a blue chip project, which I do not believe. You know, you've got a liquid staking protocol on ICP worth about 20 million market cap. That is not blue chip, right? So you have three DeFi.
No, but if you want generic failure statements, I can provide you with that. Yes, we failed in adoption. Yes, we failed to launch.
For me, that's critical to understand that you guys understand where the failures are. And but I think the public may not see that because of the saying that you've said. And I understand why you're doing that. But that is music to my ears.
I just want to jump in. To be fair on both sides, there are a lot of issues that I'm aware of that involve personal names, which is why Peter's being respectful and professional around that. But what I was going to say is I do think that I would push on an answer of where we failed on adoption whilst removing the names. For example, we don't have that starter kit, DeFi starter kit that we're working on now for sure. We've made progress on, but it should have been sooner. So even something like that for me, I think would be a reasonable overview. Naeem, am I correct? Okay. You're showing love hearts. So.
Absolutely spot. Mate, I'm smashing the emojis because everything you're saying is what I want to hear. And that's why my campaign is Yusuf for CEO.
But
no offense to you, Peter and Kurt, but like you guys are covering a lot of.
Oh, that. But I really want to relinquish that patent.
Is this an announcement of you?
No, it's the announcement of you, sir, the CEO. No. I'm joking.
But sadly, we do have some sort of governance in place, so there's a bit of paperwork that we need to go through. But let's talk after this call.
Maybe I'd like to add a thing on top of that.
Oh, please, Mark. Yeah, go for it.
I fully agree there is a failure, and there's quite a few failures, and there's quite a few hard learnings also. But as you mentioned, your starter kit is definitely one thing that needs to be there. But I also think that a thing we're seeing now is also, it's brilliant coming out kind of first, and first is a bit in quotes, and saying we have the most brilliant MPC tech in the world, and we do. I fully believe that. But part of what you do, right, is you start educating first, because people will look at you and saying, oh, that sounds really interesting, but how do I use it, right? How? Oh, that's smart.
That argument stands in 2022, but not in 2025. No, come on, there's no argument.
We are going back here. We're going back in time, and I think over time now, you also see Sorry, Mark.
Peter, I think there's noise coming.
And that's what I'm saying here. Take the story backwards, right? In 2022, you're starting educating and saying that. And I think that there was a good learning experience understanding of when I go out, if I needed to go to you now, if you were a tech, full-on tech builder, I'm sure we could nitty-gritty and make cryptographic proofs on a whiteboard and we'll all be happy. But a little practically, what we actually need to discuss is being very, very good at understanding this is the cases that we can run, right? Look at this. This is what you're actually able to do, right? And taking down in an order where it makes sense, where it's more digestible. I think all of us with some type
agreed,
of...
Agreed, but that you kind of did that back to front because you focused on the enterprise front, which is more, longer lead time.
Yeah.
And we're now starting to see fruitions of that. But in reality, you could have displayed...
Precisely.
Case examples that demonstrates and then build upon the learnings from that. Mm-hmm. Because, like, again, the issue for me is... Are we learning? Are we actually learning from things? Because ultimately, when ZK, and I understand, like, Lorenzo's Nova Miningverse didn't provide feedback, but then we have people like Hassi there, we have ZK Cross, people who are actively willing to provide feedback. Is that actually being really listened to and actioned, or is it just passing away like in the wind and another forgotten thought, and then we get some disillusioned developers that think, why are we even here?
Yeah, but I think that's
my big concern.
I'll hop in. Naeem, I'm going to boot you from speaking, not for any other reason apart from I want to give other people another space. But Mark, go for it. No, I've got some comments around it.
Brilliant question. And I would say, yes, we are listening and the developers are listening too. And if we don't, I would much rather have people poking me right now, and then you'll be even better at listening for this. So the feedback is the most important thing we have for this. And I am fully open for even listening more into this.
I would go, and I hope I'm not overstepping the mark here, but I think it's able to be public. But we are, I mean, we've heard some items from node ops and other feedback that we've taken action on. So we are stress testing the system as we speak, which allows us to understand scale, what we can do on the enterprise side, and kind of showcase that, which is another tool in the armory for adoption, as well as a byproduct, granted, but of sufficing some of the requests on the node op side, which I won't go into detail of now. But that's a specific example of feedback that has been heard. And I mean, I could go through a long list from my side, because Naeem, as you know from working with me, process and feedback loops and everything is what I live and breathe. So it's definitely happening. I can't speak on the history of the last 4 years because I've only been here a few months, but it's important, and that should happen across all audiences. On the community, I have control there, and I'll make sure there's the right frameworks for you guys to give feedback. Similarly, we need to do the same with builders and devs and a few other types of stakeholders, which when I'm involved, I certainly make sure happens. So thanks, Naeem. Important. And then Mark, was there anything else from your side
before I bring Manny out? Sorry, go ahead.
Perfect. Thank you. Manny, we are bringing you up. So how are you? Can you hear us? Hey. Yeah, good then.
Questions, and I've got a little bit of feedback to leave. So my first question really is to you, Yusuf. Yusuf, how long did it take you when you came in to get a basic understanding of the tech?
Honestly, longer than I would have hoped. I've made sure that there's better onboarding. We had the materials in place to give credit. So around our use cases, certain documentation around how we're working with partners and other key components. But frankly, it could be improved. And I've already made sure that when people join my team, those things are in place as a lesson learned from my own direct experience. Look, I haven't learned everything, and I wouldn't profess to, regardless of the organization, because it's a very technical product and project, and there's a lot that goes into a whole ecosystem. But it took longer, without specifics, it took longer than I hoped, frankly. But right. Those are things that we've worked on in terms of when I mentioned frameworks, processes, and other things which are quite broad in community, that's a key example. But good question.
So would you agree with me? Because I said this to Ads back in the day. Would you agree if it took you, but you would agree that you're quite intelligent? Now, for a basic person coming into Web3, and quite a lot of people in Web3 are quite smart, but a lot of people aren't. But a lot of people don't have a high memory span. Sure. Wouldn't you agree that we really need to get basic tutorial videos out there explaining the tech to people, so people actually understand how amazing this technology is? Like, it should be really one of the main focuses of moving forward, like getting 100%. The basic. Right. Yep. So if you agree on that, okay, good.
No, firstly, I'll agree I'm intelligent. I think we can go for that first. But no, all jokes aside, I think you're right. And to give more context around some of my comments in the community, when I say foundational content, it's spot on. It's educational content, not only for existing users within our ecosystem or memory prompts, or for people that don't necessarily always spend each of their days in our community. It's also when we do co-marketing, right? So yes, there are audiences that are interested in us because we've got a common partner or stakeholder in place, but it's also to make sure that we can maximize the content there, because educational content can be shared across partners, it can be shared in our existing ecosystem, it can work at all levels of the marketing funnel. So yes, it's important, and actually it's one of the areas I'm focusing on at the moment. So we agree. Sorry, the next question.
My next question is, now you do agree that a lot of people have invested money into Patrizia, and nobody likes to see 99% of what they invested go to zero. And when it comes to investing, emotions are involved. So people do get angry and people do get pissed off, especially when the teams are earning six-figure salaries and they're watching what they invested go to zero and no real movement is happening. Now, we can't fix the past. You know, you have to move on and learn on. And I take it you've taken responsibility and everything else. But there is some people that might want to leave, and they're always going to stay in this community and just create FUD and everything else, no matter what happens, unless the project was to zoom, which I don't see happening in the foreseeable future right away. It's going to take time to rebuild. Why don't you just release the tokens of people and let people that want to leave get out? Because people are still locked up, and I don't know why you just don't release people's tokens and let the token actually find its bottom and then build from there. So why won't you do that?
Thanks, Manny. Question that's for Peter, I think, on that occasion.
Yeah, well, really, it isn't. I think I have a check-in with Pitbull and Cryptid tonight, and I'll give more details about it. But it's really not our decision. It's the network's decision. So whenever we are talking about changing things that is fundamental to the network, we if they want to do it. So it's not for us to decide, really.
Well, I hope you think, consider that, guys, you know, like, there's God's network. I don't know why you didn't put Discord, you know, it should have just been one, but
that's my sense.
But one of the things I would like to ask is, like, as you can see, I think there's quite a lot of people in this community that are stuck around, and there's quite some intelligent people in here. And one of the reasons a lot of people are stuck around is, Peter, because of your credentials. If this was some other people out there, most people would have left a long time ago. You guys, on paper, are some of the smartest people I've seen in the crypto Web3 space right now. And I still believe that you can deliver, but obviously you need the right help and moving forward. So, like, you need to rebuild the community spirit and reputation. Like, I said this to Ad as well. You know, I don't understand why you just don't once a week just come and hang out in your Discord, jump onto VC, you know, build a relationship with your community. You know, start rebuilding the damage that's been done moving forward. And, you know, like, I witnessed people that have got no coding experience jump onto ChatGPT, fork a DEX, and launch DEXs on various chains. What we've only got two places, Mexi and I think it's Bitfinex, that has got MPC token. Why can't the team, who have got so much credentials, just create a DEX and put some liquidity into it and let Patrizia own it and have some, transactions coming in, and any volume and any percentages it makes go back into the token? Why can't you do that?
The legal consequences of deploying a DEX.
Sorry, I'm just going to jump in. Manny, thanks for the questions. I'm just going to allow someone else to step up after and hand over to Peter to answer. Thanks, Manny.
Yeah, the legal consequences by a DEX. That's one of the reasons we're working together with CK. You probably all followed the collaboration with them on the site. Dive too deep into that. But my point is that there's on point of origin, you are seen as a bank, so you actually have to have live up to the same sets of regulation as a bank. So it's not simple for a European entity to just deploy this even outside of the family.
Again, I think there were technical issues there, but the summary I got, and from my understanding, is some of it from a foundation building perspective is around compliance and legalities, particularly when you're dealing with what could be deemed financial product. But that doesn't, I mean, that's the reason the grant program exists, and that's the reason why ZK
for example, is one of the partners who have deployed their DEX. Yes, liquidity needs to be provided, and I'm just because I don't know the legalities around it, I'm not going to speak on specifics. I'll let Peter do that if he's back. Mark, I don't know if you've got anything to add there, and then we'll go over to Oz Dave. Before we do, Matthias has a hard stop now, so thanks for your time, and Mark and I will hang around at least for a few more questions as well. So thanks, Matthias, and thanks, Peter, everyone. I don't know if you heard anything else on.
Thank no, you. I on, really on hate Twitter Spaces. Can I say that? I really, really, really hate Twitter Spaces. No, what I said is that the foundation cannot deploy the DEX. That's outside of the regulation. And if you're doing it from Europe, then you are effectively deploying a bank. So you have to live up to the regulation. So that's also why these things are mostly coming from Dubai. I don't know if you heard that.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we heard that. We heard that. That was clear. I'm going to bring up Oz Dave again. Sorry, not again, and encrypted again after that, as he's requested to speak. Oz, you first. Hey, how's it going? Hey, Oz, I can't hear you. Hey. You can hear us.
Yeah, can you hear me okay?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I think you're on the same connection as Peter.
I'm in Australia, so it's a long way away.
Oh, no, you're back. You're back. No, Twitter is just a bit of a mess. Go for it, please.
Hey, I just want to double click on something you said, Peter, before, you know, on this token unlock. It's related to the ability to create proposals. You mentioned that it's up to the network to decide this, but do we even have a mechanism for proposals to be created by Node Ops or anybody else for such a thing to be voted on? Or can they only be raised by the foundation?
There's a mechanism. You probably need help, but there's a mechanism, and I'll be happy to route you through it. I'll be happy to do it. I mean, the foundation can serve you if you need help. This is just a technical proposal, so I'll be happy to route it through to you. Not a problem.
I think it'd be interesting because I know there are, you know, lots of these sorts of things that NodeOps would probably like to create, but the process was a bit opaque on how to do it.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, but happy to route you in.
Okay, great. Thank you.
I'd ask if that can be shared out to the wider NodeOps community as well. Once that's done, I think it would be appropriate.
Yeah, sure.
Absolutely.
Perfect. Okay, great. Thanks, Oz. Was there anything else? I assume
no, nothing more from me.
Is your name Oz Dave? Because your name is Dave and you're from Oz. Is that the...
Your powers of deduction are amazing.
Good to speak to you live outside of TV. Likewise. Thank you. Take care. I believe it was cryptid first, so fire away. You're up now. No, you're up now. You can hear.
I had a question. It's not my question, so I don't want to be accused of hogging the space. It's for someone who can't be here. And their question was, whose idea was God's Network originally, and when was it first conceived?
Ah, I know who exactly that was.
Yeah, and it's a bit of a shame that Matthias is not here, because it really is. The legal registration that happened this year, where we founded the company, and that's where we started building the app. I mean, some of these ideas around, not only in Matthias' context, but also in Matthias' blockchain, and what, I mean, a lot of these things has actually been around, so a lot of it is groundbreaking, the combination of it, and all of these things were settled in late 2024, and that's where we wrote the white paper and founded the company.
Sorry, Peter, connection issues again. Mark, are you able to add a bit more clarity there?
I can find the unmute button, I think I succeeded. Yeah, as Peter said, 2024 founding and part of writing white papers and everything else coming into that structure and then going over there. I think that's very simplified. Everything came from that perspective up until now. So from 2024 and forward, I can't remember the month, to be honest, and I'll need to go back and look for this. And that includes white paper writing also.
Beginning of the year, middle of the year, end of the year. Yeah, I'm playing devil's advocate here.
Yes, I'm going to my calendar. Just a second.
Okay.
Just a second. I have 2024.
Whilst Mark's looking, was there anything else on top of that cryptid, or can we bring Manny up?
I think the other part of the question was, and whose idea was it as well? That's as far as I'm aware.
I've been fair the whole way through. Anyway, I won't comment on that. I'll wait for Mark to come back. By the way, I'm not involved in God's Network by any means, and my only involvement is with the foundation and the public chains, just to be clear. Go for it, Mark, if you've got any
September,
context there.
October, so whose idea was that? Yeah. September, October, more or less, writing out and going forward. From
I don't know if my connection, I have really poor connection currently, so I don't know if you can hear me. I think defining whose idea was what is hard. There was a collaboration and the finalized white paper is the sum of everyone involved and all that. And that has been reflected into the funding structure of the company.
Thanks, Peter. That's where I was going to play devil's advocate, trying to pinpoint an exact idea. So it sounds like the answer is multiple people at multiple points with ideas that probably spanned multiple years of experience.
And process. Being a bit process confused. Is not unimportant here. Yeah. There was a process where we did things together, and at the end we had a final value offering. And that process is not irrelevant when it comes to developing ideas.
Okay, perfect. That sounds as though it's been answered. Cryptid, correct me if I'm wrong, and then we'll hop over to Manny.
Yeah, thank you. I'll leave the question asker to decide. I was just a conduit.
Thank you.
No, you are the question answer. I'm purely the vessel to make sure the questions get heard. Thanks, Cryptid. Manny, you're back. It's been a while. How are you?
Okay, thanks for letting me back up. I've just got two quick questions. I asked Peter and I spoke to Peter and he said he was going to get me a pitch deck for the tech so I could give it to other projects who might consider using MPC, using the blockchain. I just want to know when that's coming. Bruce was added to
the chat. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Please note this, Yusuf. I have forgotten about it and it's my fault. I'm sorry.
I've noted it's the feedback loops across the business and NodeOpt proposal for Dave from Australia. And we're going to share that more broadly too. So they're the key things at the moment. Manny, was there anything else on top of that?
Yeah, so look, guys, we need to obviously move forward. The real, for me, is just let's get this token sorted out, you know, release it to people and just let it go. Or, you know, if you're going to, I don't know if you've seen EOS, they've just done a rebrand and they raised $4.5 billion in the last 2017. But we obviously need to find some sort of stable ground here moving forward. Let's have these AMAs every couple of weeks in the Discord, you know, or doesn't even need to be an AMA. Just have a hangout with your community and let's move forward as a community. It's going to take a road to come back. And you've got all these people in Web3. You know, if you have a pitch deck, they can take that over and try to get projects to come over here and have use case, you know, use the people that you've got in your community to help you grow. You know, like I can't say too much, but I've just helped three projects secure funding and they're going to be launching on Avalanche. And it was, it was very easy to do. You know, it was just simple, meet up with the foundation, the people I know, get them in, have a few meetings and that's them. They're going to be launching in the next 6 months. So come on, guys, it's not rocket science in Web3, but we can do so much better. But don't be so disenfranchised from your community. Work as one, and we'll have disagreements, cool. But if we work as a project and a community together, I think we can be a success. So I really hope I see that moving forward.
No, thanks, man. Like, I think that key part at the end is super important. I mean, Naeem can attest this, and he's more vocal now. He's not with the team, but we just had the conversation earlier between Mark, Peter and I, where I mentioned more community involvement. Despite some of the nonsense, let's be frank, there's a lot of talented people there who understand the industry well and have their own skill sets and value they can bring. And actually, I don't say this lightheartedly, it's a big reason of why I joined. Yes, there was a lot of noise, but actually I saw the talent and potential within the community, and that's the backbone and the foundation of any successful Web3 project. So, agreed.
Sorry, Yusuf, just one thing before I quickly jump off. I did ask Peter, because I asked you, when are you going to go and debate this tech against other devs out there? When is that going to happen? When are you going to be able to debate this on a level outside? That's, I'm waiting for that, because you said it to me, your tech is the best. You should be winning debates right now. You should be speaking at conferences right now and challenging other people.
Yeah. So maybe I can give a bit of context on this just for a second. And we are actually challenging quite a bit in the market, and I know we can speak Nillion, we can speak Fireblox, there's other things going on that. I think that it comes in two stages. So personally, I think there's always a combination of understanding of when do you go to a conference and necessarily just pay money for being there, and actually what is the return on investment. I don't necessarily think always it's the most best or the best idea actually going there. But at the same time, you also need to show, what do you call it? Show your wings, so to say, right? At the right places at the right time. I think that is one consideration. The second thing is a lot of if we go deeper into the tech, we do a lot of conversations and actually challenge in a lot of the both research articles and some of the conversations that exist out in the market on we don't say it's necessarily secure, or there could be an optimization challenge for what we do. I think some of it definitely can be more public if that is a thing, absolutely. But at the same time, we also try to focus in on saying, but the tech in itself is very valid, and there are some very valid cases that you can run where you use the tech directly. I think going out with that gives better conversations and more conversations based on this. And we do also release a large part of if we find something new, or if we we do any new research, right? You saw part of this quantum thing, right? It is actually taking exactly what we do here and actually showcase, well, there already exist structures that is post-quantum secure, that is doesn't depend on primitives that exist in the world of this quantum threat that actually out there, right? On the AI space, you're looking into federated computation, we're looking into potentially doing something around this DID consent mechanisms on AI agents, right? There's other things happening in this. But I hear you, and we can definitely be more vocal.
And I think there's a broader piece to this, which is it's about boasting around our tech and our achievements, which is more than just conferences and debating. It's AMAs, it's content creation, it's co-marketing, it's actual development and working with these enterprises and projects to showcase that. So I actually think it's broader, but a valid point nonetheless. Thanks, Mark. Naeem, you have been patient in waiting, but I'm going to go to the Fennec first of all, because he's not had a chance to jump up yet, so... Hope you don't mind. Hey, Fennec, how are you? Hey, you're up, I believe. So how are you, Fennec?
Hello, everyone. I hope you are well. I just wanted to talk about releasing the token of the vested token. I don't think it's a good idea. First of all, because if you release the token, everybody will sell. I would sell as an investor because we know that that will create a sell pressure, and the token will look like a rug pull, I don't think it's a good idea to do that. I think the step forward is to work on the project, show that the project is progressing, and people will change their mind. We are holding. I can sell my tokens. I have no vested token. Yeah, I can sell all of them tomorrow now. Yeah, but I'm still holding because I believe in the project. I'm sure there are people who believe in the project, and by doing the right things. Those people that have their token vested and they're not happy, they might change their mind and keep them. That's all I have to say.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you. I'll bring Naeem up in a second. I want to address, I don't know if there's type in, maybe Peter from you, if you can mute, please. I want to address that actually, because there's a fundamental discussion point off the back of that, which is, I see it a lot in the community, and it's what I meant earlier when I said, let's not be binary or polarized. People keep referring to quote unquote the community. Fennec, you're active. Cryptid's also active. Manny's active in many ways. Naeem is, the list goes on and on and on and on. There are different opinions and there's nuance and there's a different opinions on different topics. So at one point, community number 1, 2, 3 may all agree on a subject and then it's only 1 and 2. So yes, we receive a lot of feedback and information and there's nuance to it, right? There's also partner considerations, internal considerations, a whole bunch of other things that go into what running a business and project is. What I would say though, as a tangible, kind of thought or thing to leave is this is why, voting and the right governance mechanics need to be in place. So this is exactly what it's for in a decentralized world. And I want to put it out there openly without being prompted. It's actually a really important consideration and topic to bring up. So, Fennec, thanks for joining and giving your opinion, not just a question. I think that's important too. Was there anything else from your side before I bring up Naeem? I will take that as a no and boot you. But thanks a lot for your input and thanks for supporting in the community when you do too. Naeem, you are up. And I'll open the floor for others as well. There aren't any other requests to step up at the moment, but if there are, or you're interested in asking a question or making a comment like Fennec, then please hop up. Naeem, over to you.
Thank you very much. I've been hearing, for me, it's been good. I've heard what I need to hear, but like obviously as others can attest to, that's just all words and not actions. And for me, 4 years have gone, and anybody who is remaining at the foundation who has been over there for over a year or two should be under scrutiny. As a foundation that's, purpose is to maintain and build this public blockchain, you are doing the project and us as early supporters a disservice by maintaining not changing things radically. It sounds like things are happening behind the scenes from sort of between the lines, which is great to hear, but ultimately that's critical for me to see like going forward. And then I guess I'll end with the last question of what I'd submitted in my little epilogue to some extent, which was what in your guys' opinions is the single biggest existential risk facing Patizia blockchain right now. And what is your, I know it's broad, but I just like usually if you answered the other broad question well. This is what, like, for me, do you guys know the problem and do you guys have a plan to address it? Because a lot of stuff that I've heard over this conversation without mentioning any names have been stuff that are like, yes, we have amazing tech. Yes, we deserve attention, but no, we're not going to fight for it. And I'm generalizing there. A lot of the statements have been to the contrary of what you've said, Yusuf, specifically. But otherwise, that's what I've gathered from some of the other answers to the other questions, which to me is not good enough. And it points towards what I think Manny was trying to allude to is when are we in a position to now,
be able to speak with confidence about the technology. And I think we're getting to that point, like Yusuf's outlined, for various reasons.
Yeah, Naeem, I'll take that less as a question and more as
The question was, what do you believe the existential challenge or risk is facing Patizia blockchain right now? Like, where do you believe it is? Is it in the tech? Is it in adoption? Is it in marketing? Is it in business development? Is it in finance? Where do you believe that the fundamental issue that needs resolving is, with all things considered, like based on all the knowledge you guys have of where we are at after 4 years, in terms of where the financial situation is, in terms of the model of what is generated as revenue? As far as I understand it, no transactional revenue is actually going to benefit the foundation in terms of sustainability. So where do you guys see that existential risk or that fundamental issue that needs resolving?
Wow, there's a lot going on here, right?
Go on, please.
So I'll try to answer some of it. So pointing at one specific thing, the fact that there's no transactions on chain makes it really, really a poor choice to start thinking about taxating. So we are not thinking about taxating the transactions, but we intend to do it as soon as there's transactions. So there's sort of a chicken and egg. There's no point in focusing on building the taxation of it. We have quite a lot of treasury, which is harder to activate right now, and that will bring us beyond the 2 years of a couple of hundred million tokens that can be sold when need be. I think there are a few fundamental risks, and you're asking about what the fundamental risks are. If the key thing we need to do is get transactions on chain. That's beyond any sort of doubt the key thing. There's multiple ways of getting there, and so one of the risks could be that the blockchain space really doesn't care about privacy, and it doesn't become caring about privacy. As a European, that would surprise me, but it is a risk, and it's a significant risk, because if we're just going to do what people do on public blockchains and just transact in the open, then we don't have a lot to offer, because then all this privacy really doesn't make, and then we're left with only bringing on coin, and I don't think that's enough. We need more value propositions on the table. So that's one place where we need to harder for us to single-handedly defeat. We need to be there. We also need to be seen. Quite a few of you have mentioned that we need to be visible out there. And that it is a risk that we are not being seen, that we are somehow invisible. That's a huge risk, and we need to address that. And then we have a strong play on enterprise. If we can't get enterprise to use public blockchains, then that's also a risk. But that's not as fundamental as the two former. I think the two former is the two biggest risks right now.
Perfect. Okay. Thanks, Peter. Mark, is there anything to add to that from your perspective? And I'll go to one other question from the TG channel.
It's a name. It's a brilliant question. Thank you. I think adoption is one thing. It's also, of course, node ops and having a network that is still consistently good, and finding that absolutely necessary for that adoption to also work. And it's also, for me at least, and I'll put the product hat on for a second, is also create the understanding of that it's brilliant tech, but we also need to make it seamlessly brilliant tech, so you can build and get into this even better. And I think there's a lot of good info from the ones that are building, and yes, also from the enterprises, but being very observant from this and for everyone here also taking that input in and making sure that we make it easier in this. I think that's my two cents for now.
Yeah, perfect. Thanks. And I'm just going to add marketing and when marketing, it's such a stereotype. That's needs to be sorted in this industry and grow up a bit. But the nuance on that is something I'll always discuss and talk about in the community, for one.
But the kind of catch-all or overarching piece is marketing is an amplifier. Yes, you can be clever with terminology and positioning and everything else, but ultimately it's an amplifier, right? So if some of the other fundamentals need to be prioritized, then that's what I think the right approach is before actually doing bigger marketing pushes. So you're preserving treasury and focusing it in the right areas, which is around the product, around the tech, around the adoption, before you're amplifying that and bringing it to new users and audiences. Just an overarching piece, because I know when marketing always comes up. Fennec, if you don't mind, I'm going to take a question from TG first. So Dr. Anon has asked, will the team consider a buyback?
I don't think it's something that I'm comfortable discussing here. If we were to come back, then I definitely wouldn't be discussing it here. It would be confidential. So I think that what we really want to do is make sure that the token price goes up. If a buyback makes sense for some people, then maybe you should just send me an email what you think reasonable conditions are, and then we can work on that. But I think it's hard to just do a generic buyback.
But it's definitely, I mean, I know this because I've kind of raised some of this internally too. There are definitely different options around the token economy that we've discussed and are open to. More broader than just a buyback too. But thanks for the question. Matthias isn't here, but I will ask the other question.
Yusuf, can you hear me?
Yes.
I got a question, if you don't mind. Just a couple of them real quick.
Sure.
So thanks for taking my question as a first one. Appreciate that. I know you guys are working a lot in the behind the scenes. Just one thing that I see in Patricia blockchain, particularly compared to other networks, that the develop activities are quite less. Right. So we have to, I think we have to agree on that. Like a lot of developer workshops, adoption programs, targeting emerging markets are happening around the world. Right. So why not we plan something like that soon as possible? Because there are a lot of developers, especially like young developers who like to, you know, approach blockchains, particularly things like, you know, multi-party computation is very attractive for them. So why not we are having developer workshops that targeting the outreach? That's number one. And number two, partnerships are great, commercial partnerships. And I also agree, like, enterprise adoption is more aligned with Patricia blockchain's vision. That's cool. But can we see the progress updates, like frequent progress updates, like what are the solutions being given and what is the status of them? Some sort of, you know, like the things that the people can understand, like what's going on with them. So these are a couple of questions I have. So thanks. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll take the developer one. It's not actually my domain, but something I obviously ask and I'm curious on myself. So we have brought on some partners. I don't know how early on the call you were. I think the whole way through. But we have been working with some external developers and dev houses around how they can build out new POCs, deliver some workshops themselves. We can also do some of this internally. And then obviously the comms channels directly with our developers or going through Discord too. I think an important component was raised earlier around feedback loops. So what goes into those workshops? What are the frequently asked questions? What are the main challenges? How impactful or not are they, so we can prioritize effectively? I think making sure that you're feeding back some of this to Bruce, for example, or whoever else is working with you on the adoption side and the dev team is important too, because it will help feed some of these initiatives. But there are definitely some underway. It's just a step-by-step process. It's not all at once. And then the other question, I don't know if anyone's got anything to add there, first of all, either Mark or Peter. And then the other question was around progress updates. So developer workshops to begin,
yeah,
or education.
Yeah, I definitely hear you, and I think we can definitely do do better on that. We have done some work on the Japanese side with one school, one university doing something. I think there could be other good possibilities, and any suggestions would also be appreciated on this.
Perfect. So a few other examples, I guess, but more needs to be done, like mentioned. The other question was around updates on development. Progress updates on development. Is that right, Hassi?
Yeah,
project,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly.
Perfect. Okay. Well, from my side, I'm feeding through any communication that I'm updated with at the opportune time. So pin messages, social posts, blogs, and there will be more around that. So it's not just partnership announcements, but there's more depth to what the use cases are, different case studies, how we're working with projects, and like you've mentioned, some status updates. Mark, I'm not sure if there's anything you want to add to that, but important question to ask.
It's a brilliant question, to be honest. I definitely think we can do that. There's always now me ending up sounding a bit secretive here that on the enterprise side, there's always sometimes when you can't really say anything except, yeah, it's going well, then moving forward. But on the Tofan side, right, the first part that comes out currently is that we'll do a demo with Okinawa University, or a pilot, so to say, to be honest. Here, the expectation is it starts start of July. And that will be ongoing for a couple of months, proving DID, and ownership of that information. And the next step from there is then looking at this in what we call interoperability of identity into the Europe, that is targeting a lot of this on a more kind of broad public blockchain fields. That's one part of the discussion. The second part of the discussion is around the classical idea of what blockchain calls soulbound tokens, and then we can always discuss what does that mean. But there exists a lot of market around understanding how can I create, like a bit like the IDOS, how can I create something that proves that I'm me, and have it in a decentralized way where it's still signed by a party that actually knows that I'm me, right? The example is I go out and tell all of you I'm 20 years old, right? And say you can verify it here with this DID, and you get that's true, because there's nothing backing my statement, right? There needs to be some entity or something else that's actually backing that information. So that's the next thing coming into that. There's a few other elements around RWA, some around some AI thing also with your kind of biometric and the DID structure, where you're kind of binding those two together, that it's slowly being worked on. I think we can take the trust type example, and just for making that clear, it's kind of a twofold building. There exists identity on PPC, where we look at providing structure around storing your key, so to say, your key structure of your identity in a decentralized way, with possibility of reconstructing your identity, and potentially even do part of the facial recognition inside an MPC structure. And then there is taking that, when that is done, into a more generalized version, where you actually are able to reuse the identity across multiple chains in this interoperability, where I'm actually proving, it could be a gaming example, right? I need to prove I'm over 18 to game a horror game or something else. That is also ongoing into this. And then there's a couple of more I can't speak so much about right now. But I would love to give updates, and I think it's also a community thing around doing this. And I think we can also do more on it. And yeah, sorry, I'm blabbering now. But of course,
no, you went on to give some status updates, which is important. But I think the key thing there, just cycling it back slightly, is Yes, I mean, there are updates, and if you want to see specific types of updates, please just let us know directly or in the community, and if it's relevant and beneficial at mass, or at least for a certain subset of people, then we'd make it happen. So thank you, Hassi. We do, well, one thing, Peter has a hard stop in 10 minutes, so if anyone has questions that probably relate more directly to Peter, then it'd be a good time to ask now. Fennec, I've seen you've been waiting, so let me get to you. Before I do, there's another question from Dr. Anon in the community, which is, will the team consider, for the time being, God's Network suspending the 25%? I assume that relates to the fee, until real value is brought back to MPC. And the reasoning is it shows trust between community and team, and positive for node op stakers, et cetera, et cetera. Peter.
Yeah, I mean, this is one of the questions. There's a simple answer, then there's a deeper answer. And I'm not going to go into the deeper answer because, we are talking to different entities to deploying the software, this is our starting point. The easy answer is there's no transaction right now to tax it. So we can send all the 25%, or we can send nothing, and both would be true, because we're discussing something fictional, i.e. the money from this revenue. So once there's revenue, and if that revenue is very skewed towards one or the other, I think it would make sense to consider how the split is. But right now, I think it's premature to have the discussion. I'm not fundamentally against it, but I'm also not just saying yes. I think I need to have some data and some structure around it to make it sensible.
Okay, the important part, I guess, is it's on the table. What I would say on top of this, actually, is yes, people are more fixated on the fee, which is understandable given all of the context and history behind PBC. But this is, it should be seen as a tool for adoption. And the success of God's Network does bring success back to the public chain. So I don't want to overlook that part, but understand why the fee topic does come up. So as Peter said, options are on the table, and probably too premature at the moment, given the status of development and partnerships of God's Network as we speak. So thank you. I think there's potentially another question from TG, but what I'll do is go to Fennec to begin with whilst I check that out. Fennec, welcome back. If you can hear.
Hello. Hiya.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay, perfect. I just want to talk about the on-chain transactions. We have been talking about a lot about this, about having project building on the chain, which is definitely a good move, to be honest. We have many project building on the chain, but on the crypto world or on the Web3, it obviously is good what we are doing as a project, but to run quickly, we need the proper DEX, and we need the proper launchpad, all the tools for someone to create a token and trade it on the network. If you look at Solana, how Solana took the light from Ethereum, it is because of the low fees. People didn't want anymore to buy a token and spend 60 quids only on gas fees, yeah, or more, depends on of the conjunction of the network. And we don't have that. We need a proper DEX liquidity, and people can easily create a token on the chain and trade it and send in a link on X, for example, create a new token. And this is about MEM tokens, or even the project that have built on Partizia haven't launched any token on the chain. If we look at, I don't know the names of the project. There is no project who has launched their token on our chain, on Partizia chain. That's ridiculous. I mean, if we want to have transactions on the chain, we need to have this simple tool that all networks have, like a proper DEX where to trade liquidity and tools to launch new tokens easily for people that don't have much knowledge. Because that's what will bring, that's what is bringing Solana, the volume is not the project, only the project. The projects are good because they are reliable. They give that aspect of the project, which is a blue chip project with many good projects launching on it. But the transaction, the volume doesn't come only from that. Comes also from memcoins, from any kind of small project that want to launch on the chain, and we don't have that. Are we doing something about that? That's my question.
Thanks, Finning. I think that's a good question. And just for summarizing, so I'm sure I just have it in. So it's really about it should be easily for a DEX, of course, liquidity. And easily being able to create new tokens on it, right? I think that's more or less what you stated. I think we are in the process of doing some of it. DEX side is one. I think absolutely, and that's kind of reiterating some of the what's said before, that there is this, I'll call it seamlessness development that we would like to have, making it easier. And whether that is tutorials, whether that is making it potentially just easier actually writing the right code for getting something online is definitely something we're targeting in this, and it also require the feedbacks of the ones building already, and that is definitely a process. On the liquidity side, we are definitely looking at it too, and also on the DEX side. Give us a bit of time, but it's heard for this. And yes, and then.
But there are also the likes.
Yeah, go ahead.
I mean, there are the likes of CrowdMap, yes, and CryptoFactor and a few others that are soon to deploy who are actually here but want you to hop in and even give your opinion. It's not just all about questions. Noted, I'm just aware it's quite broad as well. So some of it may have been covered elsewhere, but fair question and noted. And some of our builders are actually here with us with Hassi and Crypto Factor. So no pressure, but do raise your hand if you're interested. Also. Yeah, TrustSwap and a few others.
Yeah.
But no pressure, but Hassi or Matt, if you want to put your hand up and contribute, you're welcome. If not, you're also welcome just to listen in. Thanks, Fennec. I can't see another hand up. And I will get shot down for saying something like this, because the last time I said we went over, there was a bit of a meltdown. But we are 40 minutes over. Peter has to leave soon, and I'm happy to hang around longer, but I just want to make sure there are appropriate questions. Naeem, if you don't mind, can we handle some of this in TG? An emoji is a sufficient response. A LARPing one is also fine. Okay, thank you.
And we got three ones, so we are assuming it's all right with three LARPing emojis.
Yes, we got could just be LARPing.
Yes.
On that, thank you. We got a thumbs up. On that note,
yeah.
Look, I want to wrap this up. I want to leave by saying this isn't the only opportunity to ask questions. Anyone that's been in our TG will see I've been in there. Weekends, evenings, early mornings, not that I want brownie points, but I'm available, I guess is the point. And so is Mark, so is Peter. Also, on feedback, although small, this is an example, and I know it's basic, so again, don't shoot me down too much when I hop off, but we've left this as an open forum and wanted questions and haven't preempted them or tried to navigate it in a certain way. So more of this, as Manny said. And Crypto Factor, I think, Matt, I think you've had your hand up. If you want to come back up, it's disappeared now. But I was just saying it's a positive step forward. And as Manny mentioned, yes, we can dwell on the past, but we should really be learning from it as opposed to dwelling on it too much. And going forward, we need to make improvements. We acknowledge that from the top, and we need to do more. Matt, you are
up. Can you hear me? Ah, mm-hmm. I can indeed. That is a solid connection. Right. Over to you.
Yeah, thanks very much. I mean, I just wanted to respond. I mean, first of all, thank you for taking the time here. I mean, we're rolling into well into the second hour. It was just really in response to Fennec, really, in terms of it links also to what Cryptid was saying about sort of baseline activities on the chain. And effectively, that's exactly what CryptoFact is aimed at. If anybody doesn't quite know our background, we've been sort of node ops for right from the start. And it was only partially way through last year, really, that we decided to expand our sort of Web3 architecture onto Particia, so which includes the generation of tokens, asset-backed tokens, all sorts of other DeFi in terms of staking and liquidity mining, all that baseline stuff. I don't want this to be sort of a sort of description of what we are doing. I'm a little bit surprised that we're not a little bit sort of better known, and that sort of question does arrive, but that's probably on us to make it a little bit more sort of public, to socialize what we are doing and the capabilities. In our defense, I would say it has taken us about 6 or 7 months to build the necessary connections. And I'm talking about our interchain bridge, which brings in our CFR token, our client tokens, and it allows us to sort of deploy properly. You know, it's not the easiest place to build, but it's not the hardest. And you know, we've experienced delays, but you know, we've had the support that we've needed. It's just been time. I agree that we now need a baseline level of transactions on all three hats that I wear as an investor, as a node op, and as crypto factor. We need this now. And I always consider Particia from experience to be segregated into these enterprise use cases, which are fantastic, but they're long term, they're 5-10 years. And those items are developed and nurtured. Half of them may not come into fruition. 90% of them may not come into fruition. You only need 1 in 10 to work out. Mm-hmm. But on the flip side, and what I really want to concentrate on is just getting up those transaction levels, because as it stands at the moment, we've heard a lot of positives, negatives, frustration. We've heard it all in this call. But as it stands at the moment, from a node op point of view, you know, we're expecting sort of heavy infrastructure there, providing for the network that isn't cost effective. And that's the right at the foundation, right at the core. We're expecting, you know, entities from all over the world. We've heard from Oz, Dave, you know, these guys are running the network. And at the moment, it's running at a loss for node operators. And that is unacceptable. And that is one of the primary reasons why we're like, what is it that we're going to build here? How are we going to help with this? And that's why, you know, we're moving CryptoFact, allowing people to raise tokens on chain, basic DeFi operations. It doesn't really touch MPC just yet, and we don't proclaim it to be. We've never said that we're going to be utilizing MPC-based solutions. I would expect in the next year or two we will start to look at those items, but we want to concentrate first on, you know, allowing, as an enabler, allowing people to come along, make it easy for them. There's no code with us, you know. When we first arrive, it will be a matter of just working through on calls, understanding what is required. Our infrastructure is top quality, but we don't actually have like the platform as in a self-serve platform just yet. So it's just about really talking through requirements and that sort of thing. So, we're growing, but our sort of eyes are really on trying to help with that problem, statement. So don't be, you know, please do just hit me up. With anything, any ideas, we're here to help.
No, thank you for coming up. Actually, this is incredible to get node ops, builders, community members, colleagues, ex-colleagues, all in the space. So thanks for the context. I'm not going to address
some of it because I think it's been addressed throughout the last 2 hours or so. But thanks for talking about what you've been building and your experience in the ecosystem and also with the team. I'm going to use that as an opportunity to bring Hasse up as well from CrowdSnap. I think it's actually good to get you guys a spotlight. I mean, we've got community members here and a decent turnout. So that's the first step in getting a bit more awareness. So thanks, Matt. Hasse, I'll bring you up now. You should be able to speak.
Hi, Yusuf, can you hear me?
I can indeed. Welcome back.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. So just a couple of things. I think someone in the community mentioned that there's no token launch yet on Partisha blockchain. And we are actually planning to launch one in a couple of months' time. So we are just we are ready to launch, but I'm just waiting to make some utility before the token launch. That's the one thing. And the other thing is our platform, our product looks like more enterprise and more B2B space, but it's about the data. So when it comes to data, it's not always where it comes from and where the data is required, but also where the data is generated. So I'm also looking for some community use cases. Like I see there are lots of things that we can do with MPC, particularly using our platform with our integration. So if you have any sort of idea, some past experiences, or if you are working with something related to research, data analytics space, please just direct message me on TG or in Twitter. So we are, I'm really happy to hear and see if that use case can be integrated into our platform and make a useful MPC related use case. So, happy to get more involved. And also I'm experimenting a lot of things these days. So I really appreciate you guys can get connected and help our, participate in our community activities, to support building this the ecosystem together. Thanks, Yusuf.
Thanks a lot, Hasse. I think actually the last point you made is something I was noting as you were speaking, but the ecosystem, well, the success of the ecosystem and any ecosystem is just the success of those that build on top. So please do support Hasse at CrowdSnap and Matt at Crypto Factor. Although it's on us as a team to drive the success, you all do still have a hand in this, and I understand the history, I understand the frustrations, I understand the emotions and all of that. But if we are to turn over a new leaf, which is where I'm looking to get to, is support our builders here as well. Support the ecosystem in other ways, and we'll keep doing what we need to do on other fronts to make sure it stays success as well. Perfect. Thanks a lot, Hasse. I'm probably going to wrap up there, but please don't see this as a final AMA or the end point. Like I've said before, we wanted to get to a place where we can have these conversations and this dialogue in a mature way. It doesn't mean we all agree. It doesn't mean we'll all ever agree. It doesn't mean there's no emotion involved, but having these kind of spaces is super important. To wrap up, thanks, first and foremost, for everyone involved. We've had node ops, builders, community members, a fair representation from a few members of different areas of the team. We will be following up with audio and a write-up of the AMA as well. And please be sure to participate in the TG Discord other channels with the link tree in our bio. We've taken on any feedback because I've been making notes as time's gone on. And hashtag Yusef for CEO. Let's get it trending. The last part is a joke, but no one can respond. So I just have to awkwardly sit here. But thanks a lot for your time. And we're in TG. So if there are any other follow-ups or questions or comments, then let us know. And have an amazing Wednesday.